You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the National Party.
Welcome back to The Wire. Last week, the government announced a drop in crime in Auckland CBD, the reduction accredited to increase police presence under this government. Crime isn't the only issue facing the CBD, with recent data also showing that hospitality spending in Auckland CBD is down compared to previous years. Challenges faced by hospitality businesses have been particularly evident since COVID lockdowns, with some heritage businesses permanently closing in recent months. In our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Katie Nimmin, I asked her about these issues facing the CBD and about the potential for a four-year parliamentary term, starting off with crime in the CBD. So I wanted to start with a little bit of information the government put out last week about crime in Auckland CBD. The government talking about a drop there, what do they attribute this drop to?
Oh, well, look, you know, we've deployed 51 beat cops in Auckland CBD, and obviously providing a deterrent for potential defenders as well. But, you know, it's a symbol for the public to feel safer and of course, certainly catching more people. And so, you know, we're less likely to see reoffending. And so, you know, as you've probably already seen, we've had a reduction, an 18% reduction in serious assaults resulting in injury. And Auckland Council has even said that retail crime, or crime has dropped by 35%, and retail crime has dropped by 50% in the Auckland CBD. So this is huge for, you know, the businesses in the Central Business District that, you know, are really seeing a result of people staying away from the CBD for, you know, fear of, you know, lack of safety. And I think this is a really good steer in the right direction.
Yeah, I wanted to speak a bit on retail crime there. As you mentioned, we've been seeing less hospitality spending in the CBD and also plenty of heritage businesses closing there as well. Do we think that this might have contributed to the reduction in crime in the CBD, just less people being around in general?
Oh, well, look, I wouldn't really correlate the people that are spending money in our hospitality businesses being the ones that are committing the crimes. Usually they are not the same people. You know, the good people coming in and spending the money and going to restaurants and, you know, and the likes are, you know, the honest people that pay their bills. But, you know, absolutely, there are people that sort of stay away from Central City when they're not feeling safe. And so, you know, we hope that these reductions in criminal activity really gets people feeling safe and happy to go out and explore the CBD, whether it's in Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, Rotorua, even in Hawke's Bay. It's really important.
Moving on a bit further to that hospitality spending, we've also seen with public transport, Auckland public transport, having several issues in recent years of services being cancelled or removed. Are there worries that this might have also had an impact on hospitality spending there?
Oh, look, you could attribute hospitality spending to many things. You know, what we're obviously seeing is the ongoing ramifications of 6 years of economic mismanagement. So, you know, for us really growing that economy back and seeing inflation fall to 3.3%, business confidence is at a 10-year high. Obviously, things don't turn around overnight, but obviously the banks are cutting interest rates and we've had tax relief for the first time in 14 years. So we will start to see the green shoots and people are feeling more confidence and that progress will come.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about that government support for small businesses and the hospitality sector. The previous Labor government, under them, Tourism New Zealand did a promotion during the COVID period, Do Something New New Zealand, and the government also offered funding to small businesses as their customer bases declined over the COVID period and the lockdowns. We've been seeing continued struggles for hospitality businesses, even as these support measures have eased in Auckland and across the country as well. Will we see similar support programs or funding from this government?
Oh, well, look, what you saw under the last government were unsustainable sugar hit treatments of businesses. And unfortunately, it gave them a false sense of security that, as you can see now, by the way that some businesses were going, was never going to help them long term. The best thing that we can do, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, is grow the economy. You know, as I said, we've already seen inflation come down to 3.3%. Businesses are feeling more confident. People have got more money in their back pocket and it will start to take off. That is the best thing that we can do, more than any sort of couple of $100 hit here and there to keep the lights on for one day, when actually what we need to do is have a pipeline of people coming through the doors and coming into the city and, you know, coming back to work in their offices so that we can have more people buying lunch, going out for a drink after work. These are the things that we need to be doing rather than, you know, short and unsustainable sugar hits like the previous government did.
Mm, I wanted to touch on again as well the people coming back into their offices. Nicola Willis talked yesterday about getting more public service workers to be in the office, as you mentioned there, and that this might have an impact on hospitality spending in Wellington. Could we see more policies like this maybe in Auckland or in other cities across the country?
Well, absolutely. There's government agencies back in up in Auckland, and that's going to extend, of course, that way as well. But, of course, we have to lead from the top. You know, we're not going to be dictating what private businesses and corporations are going to do, but if we're setting that expectation to public service, of course, it's very likely that, you know, the rest of the industry will follow suit, and it would be great to see that. You know, I'm certainly a big supporter of working in the office. I think it's great for team culture, it's great for productivity, and, you know, we want to be flexible, and it's always good to have the ability to work from home when you need to. But, you know, I know that you get into town and you go and, you know, buy your supplies that you need when you're out and about, or you go and have a quick lunch once a week, or buy your coffee, whatever it is that you do, it all adds up. And so, you know, hopefully by what we're doing and setting the tone from the top with public service, we'll see that extend to businesses, private as well.
So the government believes that getting public service workers to work in their offices, that'll have a sizeable impact on hospitality spending, or what's going on there?
Oh, well, look, no one unfortunately has the crystal ball to be able to see that, but there's the least that we can do, and hopefully it helps.
Right. I also wanted to talk about the potential 4-year parliamentary terms, a change that has been discussed in politics for various years. We're seeing it tabled a bit more seriously now. What's the thought process behind looking at this change?
Oh, well, look, you know, it's obviously something that's got a pretty strong bipartisan support for, and, you know, I think anyone would say that a 3-year term just leads to a bit of, you know, short-term decision-making and a little sort of flip-flopping from time to time with policies. And, you know, I think it's obviously something we think will lead to better government, you know, longer-term bipartisan decisions. And, you know, it's an important thing for us to explore.
There's been some scepticism around introducing a 4-year term previously, particularly Aotearoa's lack of substantive checks on government. Could we see some changes there alongside a change to the parliamentary term?
Yeah, well, look, yeah, I mean, we've got a coalition agreement with both ACT and New Zealand First to, you know, introduce this legislation, and both have ideas on how this could be done, you know, with added checks and balances, as you say, and I'm sure that'll be explored. The government hasn't started work on it yet, but will do shortly, and it will start to look like have a look at what that might, you know, come across as when that work is done.
In discussions as well of a 4-year parliamentary term, the government has pointed out a couple of issues with the current 3-year term, particularly, as you mentioned, short-term decision-making, and also a tendency for new governments to overturn a lot of the policies that the previous government has introduced. Also, these two issues, two things that this government has been quite notable for, a lot of policies pushed through in the first 100 days, and many of the things that the government was doing in its early days were overturning previous policies. Is the government suggesting that these sorts of things are something we should move away from?
Oh, well, look, I think, you know, it obviously goes both ways, and it's sort of a factor that is part of every government. It's not to say that changes won't be made when new governments come in. It's to show that you've got more time to embed, you know, important and really impactful work. And, hey, there's still going to be things that governments do that the following government doesn't agree with. That's not to say that everything gets sort of embedded and sets itself up forever. But, you know, it's allowing governments to make more longer-term decisions and giving themselves time to get that work underway. You know, and I think that's really important. And like I say, it's not a solution for every single policy or legislative decision, but you know, it certainly gives the system more time to bed itself in.
That was the National Party's Katie Nimmin speaking about issues in Auckland CBD, hospitality spending, and a 4-year parliamentary term.
That was our weekly chat with the National Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.